Well, three Sundays ago, we learned about God's loving plan for wives and husbands. Two Sundays ago, we learned about God's loving plan for children and parents. And today, from the book of Colossians, we'll be learning about God's loving plan for employees and employers. Wait just a minute, someone might say. Pastor, what do you mean that today's sermon will be about employees and employers? I mean, both of today's readings talk about slaves and masters. I mean, how can that possibly apply to us today? In fact, Pastor, isn't slavery sinful? Why does the Bible talk about slaves and masters as though it's acceptable? Well, that is how some people might react after hearing today's readings. In fact, those are legitimate questions. How are we supposed to understand what the Bible says about slaves and masters? And how does the Bible's teaching on slaves and masters apply to us today, if at all? Well, before I talk about God's loving plan for employees and employers, I must first discuss the issue of slavery and what the Bible does and does not say about it. First of all, even though the Bible comments on the situation of slavery in both the Old and New Testaments, nowhere does the Bible command slavery, nor does it ever condone it. Instead, the Bible simply regulates a practice that was part of the world throughout hundreds of years of human history. In fact, we find four kinds of slavery throughout the ancient world, and the Bible addresses all of them. The first kind of slavery was for criminals, a kind of prison sentence. In this case, the slaves were being punished for their crimes and so getting what their deeds deserved. The second kind of slavery, which was similar to the first, was for prisoners of war. When an army was conquered, very often the soldiers became slaves in the conquering nation. Now, the third kind of slavery was imposed on innocent people against their will. We find this kind of slavery, for example, in the Roman Empire of Jesus' day. People from around the world were captured and forced to be slaves. And then their children and their children's children were then born into the same slave class. Now, in the Roman Empire, you need to know, slaves had no rights whatsoever. Now, some slaves had it good if they had kind masters. But other slaves suffered greatly if they had evil masters. The point is, the masters had a right to treat their slaves however they wanted, kindly or harshly. Now, the only way to escape from the slave class was for you to buy your freedom. Some slaves were able to save up enough money to eventually buy their freedom, assuming they had kind masters who actually paid wages to their slaves. In fact, in some cases, although they were not all that common, some very kind masters would buy the freedom of one or more of their slaves whom they liked. But you see, unless you or someone else purchased your freedom from slavery, you were doomed to remain in the slave class your entire life. Now, the fourth and final kind of slavery in the ancient world, and you need to know this was the norm among the people of Israel in the Old Testament, this fourth kind of slavery was something that people entered into willingly. This was also known as indentured service. You see, if a person was poor and not able to provide for his family, that person would sign a contract to work for someone for a certain amount of years. And that person would then be owned by their employer until their contract was up. But once again, this was a type of slavery that a person entered into willingly in order to guarantee food and shelter for themselves and their family. So, those were the four kinds of slavery we find in the ancient world. And what we need to understand is that the Bible does not command, nor does it condone any of these types of slavery. As for criminals and prisoners of war, well, the Bible simply regulated that kind of slavery. In the case of indentured servants, the Bible clearly teaches that masters should treat their slaves kindly and pay them a fair wage. However, regarding the kind of slavery where innocent people are forced to be slaves against their will, you need to know that the Bible clearly condemns this. Therefore, people who teach that the Bible condones the act of enslaving people against their will, well, they simply don't know what they're talking about. Now, with all that said, there is one other type of slavery that we do not find in the ancient world, and that is what is known as race-based slavery. The kind of race-based slavery, in fact, that we had in the American South. You see, in the ancient world, slavery was not based on the color of your skin. In fact, we know from history that some black people in the ancient world actually owned white slaves. You see, if you were unfortunate enough to be born into a slave class, then you were a slave, regardless of the color of your skin. However, in the American South, slaves were made up of people with black skin and black skin only. Why? Well, some wrongly thought that only people with white skin were truly human. Some wrongly thought that people with black skin were subhuman. And sadly, that is how some Christians in the South could justify owning slaves against their will and treating them badly. But the Bible, you need to know, does not teach that people with black skin are subhuman. In fact, the Bible does clearly teach that all humans, regardless of their skin color, are descendants of Adam and Eve. Nowhere does the Bible distinguish between people based on the color of their skin. In fact, to distinguish between people merely based on the color of their skin is like calling some people subhuman because they have brown eyes or brown hair. And this is ridiculous, of course. My friends, the Bible clearly teaches that there is only one race, the human race. Therefore, Christians in the American South who wrongly used the Bible to justify their race-based slavery, they were twisting its meaning and ignoring its clear teaching. Now, with that understood, let's get back to the issue of slavery in Jesus' day. At that time in history, remember, slavery was a common institution in the Roman Empire. So if you were a slave, you had no rights unless you or someone else could purchase your freedom. Now, at this point, some people ask, why didn't God command the Christian masters in Jesus' day to simply free their slaves? Well, there are two answers to that question. But first of all, you need to know that there were some Christian masters who did buy freedom for their slaves. That did happen on some occasions. But there were two other situations. First of all, there were some Christians who would have liked to purchase their slaves' freedom, but they could not afford it because the cost was very expensive. In fact, Christians were often being persecuted, losing their income. Some people wouldn't do business with them. Or maybe they were fired from their jobs because they were found out to be Christian. So it was all they could do to support themselves. They certainly didn't have the money to purchase their slaves' freedom. And so in those cases, Paul said, love your slaves, treat them fairly, give them a fair wage. That was countercultural in the day of the Roman Empire. Now another second situation is that even in cases where a Christian master was willing to buy the freedom of his slave, Many slaves did not want to be set free because then they would have to start from scratch and earn their own living and basically live in poverty. Well, many of the slaves wanted to remain with their Christian masters because their Christian masters treated them very well and they were guaranteed food and clothing and shelter and even some luxuries. Therefore, in today's readings, Paul addresses Christian slaves and Christian masters regarding their relationship with each other. So, let's begin with what Paul says to the slaves. In our reading from Ephesians, Paul tells the Christian slaves to obey and respect their Christian masters just as they would obey and respect Christ. In fact, Paul stresses that they should serve their masters well, not from a selfish motive, but from a desire to benefit their master. As Paul writes, "Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free." Now, Paul's point is not that we Christians serve the Lord. What Paul's point is that we Christians should serve the Lord out of love, and not because we're trying to manipulate him. And in the same way, Christian slaves should serve their Christian masters out of love and not for selfish reasons. Paul then adds that the Lord rewards us when we live according to his loving plan for our lives. In other words, he's willing to give us good benefits from our good behavior, even though we don't deserve it. Remember, in Christianity, any reward we get is a reward of grace. In fact, Paul makes the same point about Christian slaves in our reading from Colossians. He says they should respect and obey their Christian masters and serve them out of love. And Paul then adds that the reward for such behavior is eternal life with God. But once again, this reward is not something we deserve. It's given to us by grace. In other words, what Paul is saying is that because God has given you forgiveness as a free gift paid for by the blood of Jesus, because God has given you the hope of eternal life guaranteed by Christ's resurrection, this good news should set you free and motivate you to love and serve your masters as you love and serve the Lord willingly. On the other hand, Paul also warns that slaves who reject God's plan and willingly do evil toward their masters, well, they can expect to be judged by God. Now, with all that understood, how does Paul's teaching about Christian slaves apply to employees today? Obviously, the United States does not have a slave class, thanks be to God. Nevertheless, what Paul says to Christian slaves applies to Christian employees today. Simply put, as Christian employees, we should not be lax in our work just because we can get away with it. Instead, we should earn the money our employer pays us by doing the best we can in our work. Even more, out of love for Christ, we should do the best we can for our employer out of love for him, even if our employer is not a Christian. In fact, our loyal work for a non-Christian employer would be a good witness to him, wouldn't it? Now, please understand, this does not mean that Christian employees should tolerate unjust treatment from their employers. Christians do have a right to defend themselves against evil labor practices. The point is that we Christian employees should strive to be the best employees we can be, and we should perform our work as though we are serving Christ himself. With that said, we can now hear what Paul has to say about Christian masters. In our reading from Ephesians, Paul commands Christian masters to show the same love and respect toward their slaves as their slaves show to them. Paul also warns Christian masters that they should not threaten their slaves because God is the master of Christian masters, and God will not tolerate a Christian master who mistreats his slaves. We find the same teaching about Christian masters in our reading from Colossians. Paul stresses that a Christian master should pay their slaves a fair wage. Paul then reminds the Christian masters that they also have a master in heaven. And what is our master in heaven like? Our master loved us so much that he sacrificed his only son to save us from sin and death. Therefore, Christian masters should love their slaves as Christ loves them. And that was countercultural in Paul's day. Now, how does this teaching apply to Christian employers today? Well, simply put, Christian employers should not be greedy, but they should pay their workers a fair wage. Christian employers should not be harsh or demanding, but should treat their workers with kindness and respect. Now, of course, this does not mean that an employer must keep a worker who can't or won't do his job properly. The point is that Christian employers should do their best to treat their employees with love, generosity, and respect. So now you know how Scripture's teaching about slaves and masters applies to us today as employees and employers. But here's another question. What if we have not lived up to God's loving plan for us in this area? What if you have sinned as an employee by not doing your best or by cheating your employer somehow? Or what if you have sinned as an employer by taking advantage of your workers and not being fair with them? The fact is, throughout the years of our life, we've all sinned in this area in some way, shape, or form. Even though as Christians we try to live according to God's loving plan for our lives, the fact is there are times when we are tempted and we give in to the desires of our sinful nature. And so we have not always been faithful employees. We have not always been faithful employers. And when the Holy Spirit convicts us of this sin, the burden of guilt can be overwhelming. Is there any hope for us sinners? Well, my friends, the good news I have for you is that we have a master in heaven who is faithful and loving toward us, even when we are not faithful and loving toward him. He treats us with grace. Remember what Paul said in our readings? God doesn't show any favoritism. What Paul means is that God is not going to choose to love one person more than another, nor is he going to reward people based on whether they're worthy or good enough. No, God doesn't play favorites. In fact, the reason he doesn't play favorites is that we're all sinners who deserve nothing but his wrath. If we got what we deserved, we would have no hope. But God chooses to give us grace. In fact, even when we were God's enemies, God was willing to sacrifice his only son for us, that we might be forgiven of all our sins and set free to serve him for all eternity. So my friends, if you have a burden of guilt because you have not always been a faithful employee or employer, then confess that sin to God and know that you are completely forgiven for Christ's sake. And then, as God's dearly loved and forgiven child, turn from your sin and ask God to help you to live according to his loving plan for your life as a Christian employee or employer. Finally, when people notice how we behave as Christian employees or employers, We then point them to our Master in heaven, who loves us so much that he died for us and conquered death for us. We tell others what a joy it is to be servants of our Master Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God